Good morning. Welcome, everybody. I'm hoping that my internet this week holds up a little better than last. I've been testing our internet speed all morning, and it should be constant. But if not, don't worry. There will be a YouTube file of it available definitely by about noon or so today. So if there's any interruptions, any problem, the whole stream video will be available to rewatch, at least here on Facebook, or for others as well on YouTube, where it's uninterrupted. So bear with me as you have been these past few weeks, which I've appreciated all patience you all have had. So, well, with that, I want to open up with a call to worship from Psalm 132 as well as Psalm 133. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, where the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Let's pray. Holy, righteous Father in heaven, we thank you for the ways that you have continued to care for and provide us, even in this past week. The friends you've have reached out to us, acknowledge that there are others praying for us, for our families and family members that are sick, Lord, how you've continue to care for them. Keep information available to us, Lord. Pray for many of those in our congregation who've had health scares recently, Lord. Pray for your hand of provision to continue to be upon them. God, that you would continually be present with those of us who are fearful, or those of us who are ill, knowing that your hand is a hand that comforts. It is a hand that heals, Lord, and that we depend faithfully on. God, we lift up the Church of Lake Trails right now, in the time it's in. Pray for wisdom of the elders, faithfulness of the people, its worshipers, Lord. We thank you for the ways in which our community groups are still operating. God, we ask that would continue in health, and that for those of us who are in need, Lord, that we would find a place to be heard, to be cared for. And most of all, in this time, that continually we would see what it means to follow your Son, Jesus Christ. We would see more and more what it means to have our lives changed, more and more to see what it means to grow together in unity, and to grow in unity with you. To know your love for us, how dearly, dearly you have brought us to you, Father. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. Well, I am wrapping up the Upper Room Discourse this week. We are ending with the High Priestly Prayer of Jesus Christ in John 17. Last week, we went through the first half of that High Priestly Prayer, looking at how Jesus is praying over the nearing of the end of his mission, his mission here on earth as he's about to die and ascend to the Father. Here, though, in 17 verses 11b through 26, we are seeing the shift of Jesus' focus to our mission, the mission of his people, his disciples, and how it relates to our mission today as a church. So if you will read along with me in John 17, the second half of the verse 11 through 26. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with you, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I've guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the Son of Destruction, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I give them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be even one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the word of the Lord. Now, as I say, we're talking about our mission today. When I say mission, what do you often think of? Because I know for myself, I might often think of specifically telling others about the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, his death, his resurrection for us. Even more so, we might even think specifically of the context of going to other countries and telling others about Jesus. You know, there is that in Jesus' prayer. He talks about sending them into the world. But I think the mission that Jesus sends us on is not simply this list of objectives or actions. It's not simply about what we are saying or what we are telling people. I think what fully describes what's going on here, as Jesus prays for his people in John 17, I think might be more helpful to describe it as a journey. That is to say, there is a trajectory for us in our mission. Because of what Jesus has done on the cross, fulfilling his mission, we are now on a road that takes us out of the world, yet we're going into it. We are on a road that grows us, one another, together in unity. We are on a road of growing closer to God. Ultimately, fulfilling our mission removes us from the world and brings us closer together and closer to God. So let's look at that first part of this journey, this idea of, well, leaving the world, it seems. Christ uses the word for world several times throughout this whole prayer. And now for him, he is considering how soon he is going to be leaving the world to reign in heaven, leaving the world to die first and then ascend into heaven. So naturally, this section of the prayer is for his followers who are going to be left in the world. Yet curiously, he says they are not of the world in verse 16. And then also says, I am sending them into the world. So they're not of it, but he's sending them into it. Particularly, they are not of the world in the same way that he is not of the world. He says that just as I am not of the world, so are they not of the world. Now, all this confusing words is where we also get the similarly confusing phrase, to be in the world and not of it, which, if you have heard before, remember, that's a pretty confusing phrase. If you haven't heard that phrase before, I would think you might be somewhat confused. What does it mean to be in the world and not of it? It doesn't really make sense, does it? How are we not of the very place that we are born, raised, and currently live? See, what Jesus means here is that his people, the people who believe that he has been sent by God, no longer share the same values, the same priorities that the world does. When we begin following Christ, that means our hearts are no longer dictated to worship in the same quests, the same pursuits of life that the world tells us to pursue. Key word there is no longer. Belief in Christ means a remarkable shift has happened. That there is a turning towards the truth, as Jesus says, to be growing in the truth, to be speaking the truth. This means we've changed. Something different has happened, and the world hates what doesn't fit in. That's why he says the world has hated them. Because though we're still in it, though he has still sent us here and have us live here, we're no longer marching to the same tune that the world does. You know, that idea of being hated by the world, it might sound a bit more fitting in the time of Jesus, the time of the disciples, than it does now. Because here in Midwestern America, I find it pretty easy to say that I'm in seminary, that I'm a Christian, that I go to church. That's not anything that incurs hate from people. Being connected with the church more, I think, communicates to other people that I'm part of another, in their eyes, human organization. However, it's when I choose to live out what I believe, that's I think, when we start to get met with discomfort from others. It's when I actually speak literally about what I believe, I think that's when people start to more look at me like I'm an alien. I don't quite belong here because I actually believe it. See, the life of a Christian is a life lived between two worlds. This is the life that Jesus is living during his prayer, where he feels that he has already left the world, but his mission here is not over yet. I think that's something that Jesus directly knows about our lives, of living between the two worlds. For our journey to begin, our journey toward unity with God, well, we first must realize that God is making us different from the world around us. Living in this struggle between two worlds means knowing that Jesus has defeated death, yet still experiencing it today. It means knowing that as Jesus says, I'm never alone for the Father is with me, yet also at times you're feeling abandoned for what you believe, feeling disconnected, feeling different, feeling that struggle and pull to continue following what the world believes. Having those moments of having to make that decision, what does it look like in my life to actually live out what I have said I believe, even though my heart wants to follow along with the world? I mean, it feels like a lonely description. Because Jesus is not simply just taking us out of it. He's also sending us into it on our mission. Our journey takes place in this world, sharing what makes us different, which it itself is good news. And the good news about it is that we're not alone in this. Because Christ does not call us to be little islands for his name, but he is calling us towards a greater unity on our journey. That journey is not a solo journey, but a journey together. A journey that brings us, fellow believers, in closer unity. As we talked last week, we mentioned that Jesus prays that we would be one even as he and the Father are one. And what a remarkable kind of unity that is. That kind of togetherness is referenced so many times throughout this morning's passage as well. And it's important for us to see unity as central to our journey. Because we are not simply solo pilgrims on a journey on a lonely road. But the longer that we walk with Jesus, the closer to one another we become. And why is that important? Because as we share our lives together, we continue to grow in unity. You know, some of the most powerful moments in my own spiritual growth have been when others have shared their experiences with me. And in those moments, I'm left with, you too. Well, I thought I was alone in feeling that way. C.S. Lewis talks about in his book, The Four Loves, when he's talking about friendship, that phrase, "you too, I thought I was alone in that," is the beginning of friendships. It's the way unity with one another begins. And those moments when we feel alone and have our doubts and our struggles and questions affirmed by seeing them reflected in the life of someone else, it's brought me great encouragement. And I imagine for many of you, you may have experienced that moment. It brings me closer to my fellow believers because it shows that God is working on us in similar areas. I think that's what it means to start growing in unity. What Jesus is praying is for us to be continually set apart. Not only are we set apart from the world in what we believe, but we're also set apart specifically for God's purposes. And part of that is the spread of His word. Christ specifically prays for those who will believe through our testimony. What happens in bringing the gospel to others? Well, in that we're becoming one. We're sharing belief with one another. We are being of the same mind. And our mission is not simply to see the church grow in more individuals, but to grow in further unity. You know, I think it's hard because in the American church, we so often think of church growth as, or the church itself as, pockets of individual families, these little pockets, and church growth is just increasing the said number of pockets. And we think in growth in terms of numbers, but I don't think that's necessarily the growth that Jesus has in mind here. He's praying that the church would grow in unity. And he prays in 20, verse 21, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." As more people come to know who Jesus is, we are growing even closer in the same vision, desires, and sharing of experiences together. So what is that kind of unity look like in the age of COVID, right? How can we be growing together when we're apart? Well, so it might look like a willingness to call someone you haven't in the church, maybe someone you haven't even spoken to. Send an email asking how things are. Ask if they need any groceries or anything dropped off because you happen to be already out. This time does not have to stop our growth in unity. As I mentioned, part of growing together is sharing our struggles and our experiences together. And here, we have an opportunity where we are in so many ways in that same boat together. We are all sharing similar feelings at the same time. So let's take that moment to grow together rather than further apart. That has tremendous impact on our mission. Because as we journey together in unity, Jesus says that the world might believe. This is how we show the world who we are. This is how we show the world who Jesus Christ is, by living out what we believe. Living out that what Jesus has done by dying for us, rising from the dead and reigning currently, we're showing that our lives are different. That we, this group of different people, are united because of a common bond of belief that Jesus is who he says he is. That will show the world who God is and who Jesus Christ is most of all. You know, and through that, through growing together in unity, together we're also growing closer with God himself. See, this journey of being in the world, not of it, is not one where we simply become better travel partners. This journey pulls us closer to God and his love for us. And that is the ultimate destination of all of this, of being returned towards the embrace of God. You know, similar to that idea of separation, of being set apart from the world, is that theme of holiness or sanctification that Jesus prays for many times in this passage. You know, I began this week by reaching back to last week's verses of 11, starting that second part of verse 11, because Jesus says, Holy Father, which is, at least in John's gospel, a peculiar phrase. And the reason why he prays Holy Father is because throughout this prayer, he's talking a great deal about our growth in holiness, our sanctification. He even talks about his own consecration as well as our own. And he refers to Holy Father because holiness is a direct attribute of who God is. It's an adjective that is tied directly to God's character. And yet he's praying that we would be growing in it. And that happens by growing closer to the source of all holiness. See, sanctification, that growth in holiness, means that we are knowing God more and more. It's not about choosing to do the right things. It's not about getting your life together or having the appearance that you have it together. It's about growing deeper love with our Father in heaven. Whenever Jesus is referring to the unity he desires to see among his people, he compares it to the unity he shares with God the Father. That means as we grow in unity together, we are growing closer to God. We are being brought into the closeness that Jesus has with God. That should be something that really shakes us to the core of what it means to be loved. What it means to be valued and cared for. Jesus says in verse 26, I made known to them your name. I'm going to continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. See, in this journey, we are becoming more and more aware that the love of God in Christ has been with us this whole time. Last week, we talked about working all things for the glory of God. Well, how might we also strain closer to the love of God? Hated by the world, separated right now from our union, but loved by God the Father. And this means we don't have to any longer judge ourselves the way the world judges us. The way we judge ourselves. Label ourselves as failures. Weak. Too broken. Not good enough, not capable enough, too different. What does it mean to be known by God? It means you're loved, you're cherished, called, equipped. His love for us tells us everything we need to know about who we are. It is when we grow closer to the knowledge of our Father who loves us that we understand how important it is that we separate from the world. What the world values does not have to be what we value, because it is in God's love that we find all value, in the end, fulfillment on our journey. What Jesus is calling for in our mission is closeness. He is not calling us out of the world to make us more lonely. But he calls us out of the place that actually has given us lonely. The world itself will drive us deeper into our own selves and away from others. We are meant to be closer with our Father, our Savior, and our fellow family members of God's people. This is what Jesus prays for us here in this prayer. Because Jesus has prayed it, it is happening and will be accomplished. Our mission is to bring God's word to others because in doing so, we are sowing unity and a deeper knowledge of the love of God so that all may know Jesus and his love for us. Let's pray. Father, help us to know your love for us. Help us to feel what it means to be loved and cherished by you. what it feels like to actually be close to that. Help that love itself spread not only from ourselves, but towards others, to the world around us. And see the miraculous change that you're bringing about by the work of your Son. In whose name we pray. Amen.